43. Solomon said, "There's not really any need to glower at me like that, Dr. Sephera. You may have trouble believing it, but you are among friends here." "Friends? You must think I'm a very gullible woman."
Not at all. Quite to the contrary.
"You invade my laboratory and steal priceless research materials. You order your horde of berserk superstitious followers to invade the observatory and wreck the equipment with which the university astronomers are trying to perform unique, essential research. And now you hypnotize Theremin into doing your bidding and send him out to capture me and turn me over to you as a prisoner. And then you tell me that I'm among friends?" Theremin said quietly, "I haven't been hypnotized, Sephera, and you aren't a prisoner." "Oh, of course not. And this is all just a very bad dream, too. Nightfall, the fires, the collapse of civilization, the whole thing. An hour from now, I'll wake up in my apartment in Sorrow City, and everything will be just the way it was when I went to sleep." Theremin, facing her across the middle of Folliman's tent, thought that she had never looked more beautiful than she did right then. Her eyes were luminous with anger. Her skin seemed to glisten. There was an aura of intensely focused energy about her that he found irresistible. But this was hardly the moment to tell her anything like that. Folliman said,
"For stealing your tablets, Dr. Sephera, I can only offer my apologies. It was a shameless act of theft, which I assure you I never would have authorized, except that you made it necessary."
"I made it?"
"You did. You insisted on keeping them in your possession, on placing those irreplaceable relics of the previous cycle in jeopardy at a time when chaos was about to break loose. And, for all you knew, the university buildings were going to be destroyed down to the last brick. We saw it as essential that they be placed in safekeeping, that is to say, in our own hands. And since you would not authorize that, we found it necessary to take them from you."
"I found those tablets. You'd never have known they existed if I hadn't dug them up."
"Which is beside the point," Folliman said smoothly. "Once the tablets were discovered, they became vital to our needs, to humanity's needs. We felt the future of Kalgash was more important than your personal proprietary interest in your artifacts. As you will see, we have translated the tablets fully now, making use of the ancient textual material already available to us, and they have added greatly to our understanding of the extraordinary challenges that civilized life on Kalgash must periodically confront. Dr. Mudrin's translations were unfortunately extremely superficial, but the tablets provide an accurate and convincing version, uncorrupted by centuries of textual alteration and error, of the chronicles that have come down to us under the name of the Book of Revelations. The Book of Revelations, I must confess, is full of mysticism and metaphor, adapted for propagandistic purposes. The Thambo tablets are straightforward, historical accounts of two separate advents of the stars thousands of years ago, and of the attempts made by the priesthoods of the time to warn the populace of what was about to happen. We can demonstrate now that throughout history and prehistory on Kalgash, small groups of dedicated people have struggled again and again to prepare the world for the disruption that repeatedly falls upon it. The methods they used, obviously, were insufficient to the problem. Now, at last, aided as we are by a knowledge of past mistakes, we will be able to spare Kalgash from another devastating upheaval when the present year of godliness comes to its end 2,000 years from now."
Sephera turned to Theremin. "How smug he sounds, justifying his own burglary of my tablets by telling me that they'll enable him to set up an even more efficient theocratic dictatorship than they had hoped."
Theremin, why did you sell me out like this? Why did you sell us out? We could have been halfway to Umgando by this time if only..."
Folliman said,
"You'll be in Umgando tomorrow afternoon, Dr. Sephera. I assure you, all of us will be in Umgando by tomorrow afternoon."
"What will you do?" she asked hotly. "March me in chains at the rear of your conquering army? Tie me up and make me walk in the dust behind Mondior's chariot?" The apostle sighed.
"Theremin, explain things to her, if you please."
"No," she said. Her eyes were blazing. "You poor brainwashed ninny. I don't want to hear the gibberish this maniac has poured into your mind. I don't want to hear anything from any of you. Let me alone. Lock me up if you like, or turn me loose if you can bring yourself to do it. I can't possibly harm you, can I? One woman against a whole army? I can't even cross a field without having someone come up and surprise me from behind." Theremin, dismayed, reached toward her.
"No, keep away from me, you disgusting
disgust me. But it isn't your fault, is it? They've done something to your mind. You'll do it to me, too, won't you, Follyman? You'll make me into an obliging little puppet. Well, let me ask just this one favor. Don't force me to wear an apostle's robe. I can't stand the idea of walking around inside one of those ridiculous things. Take my soul away if you have to, but let me dress as I please, all right? All right, Follyman? The apostle laughed faintly. Perhaps it would be best if I left the two of you alone. I can see that nothing is going to be accomplished so long as I'm part of the conversation. Sapphira cried, No, damn you, I don't want to be left alone with... But Follyman had already risen and walked quickly from the tent. Theramon turned toward Sapphira, who backed away from him as though he were carrying some plague. Softly, he said, I wasn't hypnotized, Sapphira. They haven't done anything to my mind. Of course you'd say that. It's true. I'll prove it to you. She stared at him bleakly, coldly, making no response. Very quietly, he said after a moment, Sapphira, I love you. How long did it take the apostles to program that line into you? She asked. He winced. Don't. Don't. I mean it, Sapphira. I won't try to tell you that I've never said those words to anyone before, but this is the first time I've meant them. Oldest line in the book, said Sapphira derisively. I suppose I deserve that. Theramon the ladies man, Theramon the seducer about town. Well, all right. Forget I said it. No, I'm serious, Sapphira. Traveling with you these past weeks, being with you morning and afternoon and evening, there hasn't been a moment when I haven't looked at you and thought to myself, this is the woman I was waiting for all those years. This is the woman I never dared to imagine I would find. Very touching, Theramon. And the best way you could find to show your love was to grab me from behind, practically breaking my arm in the process, and turn me over to Mondior, right? Mondior doesn't exist, Sapphira. There's no such person. For an instant, he saw a flicker of surprise and curiosity cut through her hostility. What? He's a convenient, mythical construct, put together by electronic synthesis to make speeches on television. No one's ever had an audience with him, have they? He's never been seen in public. Follyman invented him to be a public spokesman. Since Mondior never appears in person, he can be on television in 5 different countries all at once, all over the world. Nobody could ever be sure where he really was, and so he could be displayed simultaneously. Follyman's the real boss of the Apostles of Flame. He simply masquerades as a public relations officer. In fact, he calls all the shots, and has for the past 10 years. Before that, there was someone named Basret, who's dead now. Basret was the one who invented Mondior, but Follyman's brought him to his present eminence. Follyman told you all this? He told me some, I guessed the rest, and he confirmed it. He'll show me the Mondior apparatus when we're back in Sorrow City. The Apostles plan to restore television transmissions in another few weeks. All right, Sapphira said harshly. The discovery that Mondior's a fake so overwhelmed you with its slimy cleverness that you decided on the spot that you absolutely had to join up with Follyman's outfit, and your first assignment was to turn me in. So you skulked around looking for me and took me by surprise and thereby made certain that the people down in Umgando would fall into Follyman's clutches. Nicely done, Theramon. Follyman's heading for Umgando, yes, Theramon said, but he doesn't intend to harm those who have gathered there. He wants to offer them posts in the new government. God's almighty, Theramon, do you believe... Yes, Sapphira. Theramon held his hands out, fingers spread wide in an agitated gesture. I may be a mere coarse journalist, but at least grant me that I'm no fool. 20 years in the newspaper business has made me an excellent judge of character at the very least. Follyman impressed me in a strange way from the first time I met him. He seemed very much the opposite of crazy, very complex... Very sly, very sharp, and I've been talking with him for the past 8 hours. Nobody's been sleeping here this evening. He's laid his whole plan bare. He's shown me his entire scheme. Would you grant, for the sake of argument, that it's possible for me to get an accurate psychological reading on someone during the course of an 8-hour conversation? Well, she said grudgingly, either he's completely sincere, Sapphira, or he's the best actor in the world. He could be both. That still doesn't make him someone we'd want to trust. Maybe not, but I do. Now. Go on. Follyman is a totally ruthless, almost monstrously rational man who believes that the only thing that's of any real importance is the survival of civilization. Because he's had access, through his age-old religious cult, to historical records of previous cycles, he's known for many years what we've all just learned in the hardest possible way, that Kalgash is doomed to be shown a view of the stars once every 2,000 years, and that the sight of them is so overwhelming that it'll shatter ordinary minds and give even the strongest ones a bad time for days or weeks. He's willing to let you see all their ancient documents, by the way, when we're back in Sorrow City. Sorrow City has been destroyed. No, not the part of it controlled by the apostles. They made damned well sure nobody would be setting any fires within a mile of their tower on all sides. Very efficient of them, Sephara said. They're efficient people. All right, Falaman knows that in a time of total madness, the best hope of pulling things together is a religious totalitarianism. You and I may think the gods are just old fables, Sephara, but there are millions and millions of people out there, believe it or not, who have a different view of things. They've always been uneasy about doing things that they consider sinful, for fear the gods will punish them. And now they have an absolute dread of the gods. They think the stars might come back tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, and finish off the job. Well, here are the apostles, who claim a direct pipeline to the gods, and have all sorts of scriptural passages to prove it. They're in a better position to set up a world government than Altenall or the little provincial overlords or the fugitive remnants of the former governments or anyone else. They're the best hope we have. You're serious, Sephara said in wonder. Falaman hasn't hypnotized you, Theramon. You've managed to do it to yourself. Look, he said, Falaman's been working all his life toward this moment, knowing that his is the generation of apostles on whom the responsibility for ensuring survival will fall. He's got all sorts of plans. He's well on his way to establishing control over enormous territories north and west of Sorrow City. And next, he's going to take charge of the new provinces along the line of the Great Southern Highway. And establish a theocratic dictatorship that will begin its rule by executing all the atheistic, cynical, materialistic university people like Bine and Sheeran and me. Sheeran's already dead. Solomon told me his people found his body in a ruined house. He was apparently killed some weeks back by a band of anti-intellectual crazies. Sephara looked away, unable for a moment to meet Theramon's eyes. Then she stared at him more angrily than before and said, "There you are! First Solomon sends his goons crashing into the observatory. Aethor was killed too, wasn't he? And then he eliminates poor, harmless Sheeran. And then all the rest of us will be..." He was trying to protect the observatory people, Sephara. He didn't go about it very well, did he? Things got out of hand. What he wanted to do was rescue all the scientists before the rioting started. But because he was operating under the guise of a wild-eyed fanatic, he had no way of persuading them to hear what he was offering, which was to give them safe conduct to the Apostles' Sanctuary. After the observatory was wrecked, that wasn't his first choice either. The world was crazy that night. Things didn't always follow his scheme. You're very good at making excuses for him, Theramon. Well, maybe so. Hear me out anyway. He wants to work with the surviving university people and the other sane and intelligent ones who have gathered at Amgondo to rebuild humanity's pool of knowledge. He, or the supposed Mondior, rather, will be in charge of the government. The apostles will keep the unstable and superstition-ridden populace pacified by religious domination, at least for a generation or two. Meanwhile, the university people will help the apostles assemble and codify the knowledge they've managed to save. And together they'll guide the world back to a rational state, as has happened so many times before. But this time, perhaps, they'll be able to begin the preparations for the next eclipse, 100 years or so in advance, and head off the worst of the upheaval, the mass insanity, the torchings, the universal devastation. And you believe all this? Sephara asked. There was the bite of acid in her voice. That it makes sense to stand back and applaud while the apostles of flame spread their poisonous, irrational, totalitarian creed throughout the world? But what's even worse, that we should join forces with them? I hate the idea, Theramon said suddenly. Sephira's eyes widened. Then why? Let's go outside, he said. It's almost dawn. Give me your hand. Well, it wasn't just a line when I told you I love you. She shrugged. One thing has nothing to do with another. The personal and the political, Theramon. You're using one to muddle the other. Come, he said.